manifest itself in truth and in goodness.
Local.
The challenges that we're facing in our generation, we just need the gospel. I mean, every culture, every generation just needs to know how the gospel applies.
Engaging.
We don't bring any life at all to the church. The church is the life. It still gives us the life.
Live.
The reality is, He is all things beautiful, capital B. And so anything that is authentically beautiful draws us, even if we don't realize it, to God.
Good morning and welcome to Real Presence Live. I am Heather Caro.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
And we are your hosts this morning, broadcasting from the Pastoral Center here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's a pleasure to be with you. We have a fantastic show lined up for you today. We're going to start with Bishop Donald DeGroote. He's going to be talking about family being the first church and supporter of vocational callings and what he's seeing in the pastorates around with vocations. And then we're going to head on over to Sarah Hofflander. I'm excited about this one. She is going to be talking about this classical hybrid school opening this fall. So another opportunity for families. And then an update from Jason Adkins on the Minnesota legislative session. And then Eric Spader will be talking about O'Gorman. It's kind of a school theme this time, right?
Yes, it is.
And then Father Andrew Dickinson. Excited to get him on to talk about Set Ablaze here in the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Normally, Doug, we start off with prayer.
Yes.
But since we have kind of a big deal sitting in the chair next to me, we're going to let him do the prayer. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning, Bishop.
Welcome.
Blessing to be with you again.
It's wonderful to have you. Thank you for joining us this morning, and I'm going to let you start with the prayer.
Happy to. In the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many, many graces and blessings you give us in our life. First of all, you've created us in your own image and likeness. And then through baptism, you give us your very own life, so that you can dwell within us, so that we can flourish. And through all the sacraments and the life of the church, we just thank you and we praise you for that. And then you sent your son Jesus, which we have just celebrated at the sacred triduum, where he was so open to lay down his life in love, to pay the ransom for all of our sins, to restore us back to right relationship with you, and then sent the Holy Spirit to continue to be with us until the end of the age. Heavenly Father, ask your grace and blessing upon this day and all the work of NPR and all the wonderful things they do in Real Presence Radio. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will fill them with the light of your love and that you will animate things throughout our diocese, throughout our territory, and throughout our country and world with the light of your Holy Spirit. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to move your mic up just a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
There, that's better. We want to hear you nice and clear.
All right.
How are you doing, Bishop?
Doing pretty good. Plugging along.
Yeah?
Plugging along.
Are we keeping you busy?
You know, it's sufficiently busy. How's that?
It was busy the last couple weeks.
It was. But you know, my brothers, I have four brothers, and they always say, well, I have people to do all my work.
Oh, yep. How nice.
So isn't that
Wasn't
nice?
That
I
nice.
Have people to do all my work, they say.
I made it to the Easter Vigil. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And for those, and this isn't on our talking points, but for those that missed your homily at the Easter Vigil, go out to the diocese website, sfcatholic.org, and check it out. It was, we've shared it many times. It was absolutely fantastic. So thank you for that, Bishop.
You're welcome. You know, what all I do is I pray, and then I was trying so hard to get something, you know, often I'll try to get something written, and the Lord just... Nope, it's not what he wants. Not what he wants. He wants me just to preach from the heart and after prayer.
Yeah.
So
it was beautiful.
We give the Lord the glory.
It was a message we all need to hear. So
thanks.
I'll encourage all of our listeners to go out to the Sioux Falls Diocese website and check it out from the Easter Vigil. So one new thing we're going to try here, Bishop, and you're one of our guinea pigs, so lucky you.
Bishop's kind of used to that, you know, right?
It's got to start somewhere, right?
It's got to start somewhere. That's right.
We wanted to take a few minutes at the beginning of each show and kind of go through a gospel reflection for the day.
Sure.
And what a perfect time during the Easter season to do that, to start trying to do that. So if you could just give us a few thoughts on today's gospel and your reflections for today.
Sure, sure. So today's gospel is from John 3, 16 to 21, and one of the things I love about John's gospel, St. John, is that he uses the imagery of light and darkness. And, of course, light connected to the Easter Vigil, to the light of Christ coming into the world. So when you think of the Easter Vigil, it's not just the light of Christ that comes in, which it does, right, when we celebrate the resurrection. But then from that, all the candles throughout the church get lit, right? Mm-hmm. So the light of Christ is to come in us so that the darkness that's in the world, and because of original sin around us, it actually, the light replaces the darkness. And so the gospel today is really calling us that he's calling us, he doesn't want us to perish. He wants us to have eternal life. Well, the way to have eternal life is to have the light of God alive in us, on fire, if you will, with his love. So in the Easter season, with that Easter candle, it's such a beautiful reminder of Christ is the light of the world. He is the solution to all the world's problems, all of our personal problems, all the brokenness, original sin. And so the whole goal is to receive more and more of the light of Christ and to allow our lives to be filled. Light, goodness would be another word, right? So all the goodness of God, the light of Christ. Because we know in scriptures, and we see it even, for example, in the having just celebrated the Triduum, with the night right after the Holy Eucharist, right? Holy Thursday night. It's an incredible institution of the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Priesthood, right? With his apostles. Like, wow, talk about time of grace, right? Mm-hmm. But shortly after that, they go into the darkness of the outdoors, and it isn't long, and the disciples are falling asleep. The disciples then are tempted out of fear, and they all flee when they come to arrest Jesus, right?
Yeah, right.
So the darkness can be so pervasive in this world, and so St. John is so helpful for me as the beloved son to really remind us of the importance of staying attentive to the light of Christ. And that means we need time, of course, for the Lord, to let the Lord come in. But I love this gospel because it speaks in one part here of, but the people preferred the darkness to light because their works were evil. So we can understand that as, because of original sin, we all have broken inclinations. So the broken inclinations are there. So the inclination towards the easy way out, the sinful thing, the apparent good, right? That's the way the evil one works on us. Like, oh, this will be really good if you just do this.
Yeah.
And of course, that leads us down a road, and then we're deceived. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. That's what happens to us, right? We can be easily tempted. So whatever sins or weaknesses that we might have within us towards sin, we're inclined that way because original sin. Patterns of sin make it even more difficult to come out of that darkness. And you can see in extremes, like addictions become those kinds of things. And it can be addiction to all kinds of things. Social media, to gambling, to certainly chemicals and all kinds of stuff. So what the Lord's inviting us to is to come into the light. And
love
so
it.
That's why it's so important in the spiritual life. I sometimes have described it to people that if there's two set of eyes on everything, meaning I'm not keeping little secrets to myself, right? I have my confessor, I have a spiritual director, I have bishop support groups, I have staff. Like, if there's more than one set of eyes on everything, it helps keep objectivity. If you have good people that you surround yourself with, so you're not hiding within. Let's say someone struggles with gambling, right? It's like, oh, well, I don't want anybody to find out. Well, actually, by bringing it into the light and having an accountability partner, it actually helps us not stay stuck in the darkness and trying to sneak around thinking we're getting around things,
right?
Where the Lord wants us to come into the light, and he wants us to be so acknowledging that we are broken, we're in need of a Savior, we're in need of Christ. Christ is the light of the world. Easter season is receive the light of Christ, right? And then what happens, like the Easter Vigil, is we experience one candle gets lit, that light helps another, helps another. So Christ's life flows through the world by ourselves, letting the light of Christ fill us. And when it's so, we can't contain it. We want to share that light. So that's the goal. That's the invitation for us. And so I'll just finish with this part. So it says here, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light. It does not come toward the light so that the works might not be exposed, right? Kind of like we talked about with the gambling. But it says here, whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that the works may be clearly seen and done as in God. So when we come into the light of Christ, even there's darkness, and that's sometimes what can hold us back, shame, guilt, like I'm not worthy. No, just run to the Father. Think of the prodigal son, run, and he is running to us like, just come, right? And then when we do, yes, it means conversion. Yes, it means sacrifice. Yes, it means we need to change our way, whatever those ways are in our life. But we actually discover when we let that happen, there's peace, there's joy, there's peace of conscience, there's ease of mind. It's, we're living in the light. It's such a great place to live.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Bishop.
You're welcome.
Yes. Well, and I love the imagery that you give of just sharing some of your difficulties with others.
Yes.
I'm a very practical person, so I'm like, okay, we can go to the light. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Go to the light. Is there a place where there's a spotlight, you know? But I like how you're giving us tangible things to do.
Yes.
You know, and I always say, if you don't know what to do, just go sit in adoration.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't even have to do anything.
Well, you know, that's a great point, because we have to remember in the spiritual life, it's all about receiving.
Yeah.
There's nothing spiritual that I can produce.
Mm.
It's all a matter of receiving it. So when we think of the sacraments, what do? We first receive, and then what we have, what we need, because it's God's gift to us. So it's in that receptivity. So I love your point about adoration, time of prayer, regular prayer, reflecting, scriptures. Mm-hmm. And we're so fortunate today because there's tons of great resources, even electronically today. People can access from anywhere, right? So we're really blessed in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that reflection.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say something that's, I don't know why, but during this Easter season, John the Baptist, I must decrease and he must increase. Mm-hmm. It's been running through my head for the last 3 weeks.
Amen. Amen.
Sounds like the Lord has you on a beautiful spiritual journey, because even the catechism will speak about how humility, so to be humble, is the foundation of the spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Right. So we look at Jesus, the Last Supper. What does he do? He starts washing their feet. Here's the Savior of the world, the Son of God, washing the feet of the disciples, and then instructing them, what I have done for you, you must do for others.
Yes.
But it's all that humility. And St. John the Baptist, of course, as the forerunner, God gave him the grace to know that and to live out of that place of humility. Mm-hmm. There's the Lamb of God. Follow him.
Yes.
Don't follow me.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the domestic church, which is closer than you may think. So, folks, stay with us. More Real Presence Live right after this.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network. Did you know you can listen to the RPR Network when you're on the go? Just search for Real Presence Radio in your app store. Listen live to any station across the network at any time, so you can stay connected to your local community from wherever you are. Plus, if you miss a program, the Real Presence Radio app is your one-stop shop for local and national podcasts, including our signature show, Real Presence Live. The Real Presence Radio app, with you every step of your faith journey. Download it today and see what you've been missing.
Have you ever worried about someone's salvation, especially one who died by suicide? I'm Father Chris Alar. Sometimes the state of their soul seems to cause us fear for their eternal fate. They die in what seems to be a hopeless state of sin and unrepentance. However, Jesus says in 1698 of the Diary of St. Faustina that what looks hopeless to us is in fact not so. He says that many times the soul, illuminated by a ray of his final grace, turns to him in the last moment to receive complete forgiveness of all sin and punishment, although we see no external signs of this. Wow! We can see why Jesus said that divine mercy is mankind's last hope of salvation. Please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost, and to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.
What if you could earn a degree that offers the best of both worlds, an MBA and a master's degree in philosophy? The University of Mary offers one degree that combines world-class business training with a careful study of life's deepest questions through their combined MBA, MA, and philosophy program. By earning one degree in both philosophy and business online, you will rigorously engage the big ideas needed to address professional challenges. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Heather Caro.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
And we are your hosts this morning, broadcasting from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, from the Pastoral Center in a beautiful studio they have here on the third floor.
It is very nice.
We're just going to claim it as our own.
Yeah. Good
know.
Luck.
I was going to say, Bishop may have something to say about that, yes.
You're always welcome. You're always welcome.
We're talking with Bishop Donald DeGroote here this morning, and we're kind of shifting gears a little bit. And April, you are planning on focusing on vocations. Why April?
Yeah, great question. So as you may know, the way the Lord works in my life is if I pray, there's different times I'll get particular inspirations. And so when that inspiration comes, then I try to, like, what is the Lord asking of me in this, right? Mm-hmm. So what's been really fascinating to me is I've observed kind of like the work of vocations. If we use the example to religious life, consecrated life, just as an example, there's vocations to marriage, of course, too. But what was coming to me in prayer is when Jesus called the apostles, what did he do? He went to pray, he consulted the Father, and then he called those that were to be the apostles. So it wasn't just like, okay, Jesus wasn't like, hey, who do I think might be a good person? What are their qualifications? What are their gifts? Because we know with the apostles, they were not the most educated. Mm-hmm. Some were fishermen and all kinds of things, right? So like, why would you choose these people if you want them to go out and preach the gospel when they're not experts in scripture, for mm-hmm. example, like the scribes and the Pharisees would have been? So that was really striking to me. Then the second part that was stirring in my prayer was this whole sense of when the church was growing so fast, and the presbyters, the priests, and the apostles, they just weren't able to keep up because the needs of the people were so great. And they came to that realization, and we hear it in Scripture, where we need to be attentive to the Word, to prayer and to the Word, right? So we got to be really attentive to these things. But they realized they were spending a lot of time on what we would now today call the corporal works of mercy, right? Caring for the widows and the orphans. And not that that isn't good, but their primary role and responsibility was prayer and preaching the gospel, right? So when they discerned this, they were to pray and discern the men who were to be called forward to be deacons in the church, to serve at the altar, and to serve the corporal works of mercy. And hence, that's where we see the roots of the diaconate, so permanent deacons, for example, in the life of the church. The point I'm getting at is, so the Lord's been stirring within my heart that there's something here that he wants me to really pray into and to focus on, to pray for vocations, and then to call people forward to this awareness within Scripture, because that's what we look to. We look at all the sacraments. How did Christ set them up? And we respect and we regard that as this is how the Lord wants to lead his church, right? Mm-hmm. So that led me to this kind of reflection. And then out of the blue, Father John Short comes to me, one of our pastors in one of our rural areas in the kind of central, north central area or western area. And he just had this beautiful insight. And it was just so inspiring to me that he's like, God wants to provide for us. God's still calling priests. And so he prayed, he shared the story with me, that he prayed, he went to his people, and he said, I want you to pray for who you think would be a good priest, using that as an example. And so then they pray, and then he puts pieces of papers in the pews and says, I want you to write those names down and put them in the basket, and I'll pray on those. Wow. And then I want you, and then he went back another weekend and said, I want you to pray for that person. So what I love is it's the Scripture coming alive. When we talk about set ablaze, it's like, what are the inspired aspirational goals? It's like, how is God calling us into a new way of being or being reminded of once was, right? How Jesus called the apostles, how the first deacons were called into service in the life of the church. So the Lord's really been stirring this within my heart. And then, unbeknownst to me, Father John Shore comes up to me, shares this beautiful story. And the number of names he got from three rural parishes was just astounding, right? And now it's like, now our responsibility is to pray for them. Mm-hmm. Because it's through prayer that the great spiritual works happen. So that if it's, for example, a man discerning priesthood or a man discerning the diaconate, if God's stirring graces, we want that person to have everything they need. And so how important it is for us as laity in the life of the church and the world, one, to be part of the mission of who is God calling.
Yes.
Right? It's not just the vocation director. It's not just the pastor of the parish. Years ago, we used to hear was the good sisters, right? Teaching in the schools or whatever. Yeah. Sister would say, I think you need to be a priest. You go talk to Father, right? Or whatever they did. There was something about they had this beautiful sense of that there's a call. So we have to remember with vocations, It's a vocation from God. It's not just, hey, I'll do it. I'll raise my hand because I have an interest in some. No, no, no. The church needs to confirm this. We need to see if this is of God. So what I'm inviting the people to in this month of April, it's Good Shepherd Sunday coming up. So that's one of the reasons, one of the times we can focus on vocations. And I've asked all the pastors around the diocese to really pray and discern on Good Shepherd Sunday of how to invite the people within the parishes, so whether the consecrated men and women in their parishes, the laity, to pray, discern who you sense may have a vocation, present that name to the pastor so the pastor can pray on it. Now, it's very important that people understand it's not like we're going to, you know, arm wrestle that person to the ground and say, you're going to be a priest, right? This is, we've defined this for you. Your life is determined. Nor do we want people flooding that person and then that scares them like, hey, I just need time to process, right? The whole goal is to have people that can be supportive to that person in whatever stage of the formation in life they're in. They could be first starting to serve Mass and they're starting to sense something within them. That's when it happened to me. So like, how can we equip parents? How can we equip those who teach faith formation? How can we equip those who teach confirmation and others who are mentors to support our young people in discerning their vocation with a radical openness to what does God have for you? That's the question of place. And so the same for young women. We want them to be able to, wow, like, I never seen this as a possibility.
Right.
Right? But to help them discern their vocations. If it's to marriage, praise the Lord, right? We want holy, healthy, happy marriages. And if people are, God has a plan for them to live a single life for the rest of their life, but maybe it's a consecrated sister, a consecrated brother, maybe it's a deacon, a priest. So that's where it really came from, was this stirring of grace in my heart. We know that we need priests, right? We know that. We know that we need religious sisters. We'd love to have tons of religious sisters, tons of priests, tons of whatever, and holy marriages. But it's the intentionality.
Yeah.
And when this grace, you know, was stirring in my heart of like, how did God call the apostles? And it's so clear from scriptures.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, if you think you're interested, let me know. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Drop
people
it.
Pray. Jesus went to pray, consult with the Father. And then he says, come follow me.
Yeah.
And by that point, the apostles were so convicted that this was of God. As the nuncio said to me when I called and I got the call out of the blue to be in a bishop, I'm like, what can I pray and think about? Oh, but when Jesus called, they dropped everything and followed him immediately, right? I was a little slower in my uptake than the apostles. But the point being is, when it's God, it becomes so convicting in the heart that the soul will come to discover this is of the Lord. And it's really ultimately what I do want.
Yeah.
Meaning, I want to do God's will. But of course, we have to go through all the wrestling points, whatever stage of life we're in. But we're really trying to create a different culture around this understanding of vocations, and that every lay, man, woman, every person in our diocese has a responsibility to help pray and discern who may have a vocation.
Right.
And then we present them to the church, and the church prays over them, the people pray over them, and we let God do the work, because then it's going to be moved in their hearts. And Father John just gave this great story, and he says, you know, and there was a couple that I, you know, we didn't even recognize in our list, but they have come to me and they're showing some indication of possibility to preach. It's like, see?
Yeah, just ask the question.
Pray.
Yeah.
And ask the question.
My mom is a perfect example of this. So she has told me my whole life that if somebody would have just asked her.
Yes.
If she would consider being a sister, she probably would have.
I was going to say, do you think it's just been lost, this asking or praying about it, or?
It's a good question. I don't know for sure how it got to this point. I think that, you know, it's like anything else. Things can come and go. We can lose focus. That's just could happen for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah.
I think what the Lord's stirring in my heart is, it's like where the whole thing is set ablaze. Pray and discern what God is asking for us as a pastorate within our various parishes, and what is God, how does he desire for the light of Christ to flourish in this pastorate? We apply that to vocations. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Pray and discern. I've been praying for more vocations, praying. Well, then all of a sudden this clarity comes in my mind and my heart. And then Father John Short comes to me.
Amazing.
And then Father Scott Traynor and the others working in vocations have like a different way to be supportive to people discerning vocations, right? Like we need to be really intentional, put more energy into the focus of that, and to bring it to the awareness of the people, and then to ask the people, we need you to pray intently, beg God for the graces, because we even hear that in Scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, we are to ask, right?
Right.
The harvest is rich.
Yeah.
The labors are few. We know that. Ask the master of the harvest to send labors. That's what we need to do.
So what message would you have for the domestic church?
So the domestic church, as we think of it within our diocese, would be precisely that. What it would mean on the domestic church, kind of on another level, would be your parish communities, is to have a very intentional plan, kind of work towards an aspirational goal for a plan of vocational discernment. Then the domestic church, if you will, so I'm kind of taking up layers, right? The domestic church of the family, which is the core and basis where the germination happens, right? So, for example, the word seminary means seedbed. So it's a seedbed where a vocation can be nurtured, needs to be cultivated. There's things that need to be trimmed off once the tree starts to grow, right? All those sorts of things. But if we look at the domestic church, what's most important there is that families are praying for vocations. Parents are understanding more, like, how do we help someone if they're showing signs? How do we bring this topic up in a very natural way? That it's not threatening. It's not like, you have to do this, right? Yeah. Or, you know, boy, I'd sure love to have one of you be a priest, right? You know, to place this lot of pressure. But there's other things like, there's different programs that, you know, they use for especially young children that are very tactical. So they like have mass set up so, you know, the kids can see the altar and those kinds of things. So it's things that actually help them like see. And then it may not be long and all of a sudden they're playing mass, right? So we did as kids. I remember in the basement of my cousins, right? We had our little chair set up, and whoever was the priest was doing his thing with potato chips or whatever we had. So it's an intentionality in family life and preserving the space for God to work and nurture a soul and for families to be radically open to God's will for the child and not just, oh, but I want grandkids, right? Or whatever, whatever the obstacle might be.
So we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm going to go off script because that's what I do, Bishop. Sorry.
Me too, obviously.
The Perpiduic
gentlemen,
how has that gone? It's the first year for them. From a bishop's point of view, how has that gone?
You know, I've been really inspired. So the Holy Father has asked throughout the world that there be a period of time before someone goes into their major studies in philosophy, that they really have time for principally two things, spiritual formation and human formation. So when I prayed and discerned, I just really had that sense like, we need to be doing it here. And so we started this propedeutic experience where it's in a place, and we have two priests living there. Father Kapperman is vocations director and responsible for the formation of the men. And then we have Father Klein, who's kind of like, they call him Frunkel. He's like the fun uncle, right? He gets to be in the house, they get to hang out together, but he doesn't have all the responsibility. What's really beautiful is hearing the testimony of these men. And the testimony of these men is, you bring all these opportunities for them, but we want them to discern it in freedom and to see how they're stepping into it, taking responsibility for their own human and spiritual formation in new ways, how that's bringing clarity in their vocation and discerning. It's really helping them discover, does the Lord have a vocation for you to priesthood, for example?
Yeah.
So it's been a blessing.
It has been. So my mother and I and daughter, we all go to the Newman Center Mass at Christ the King. I know. And so we get to see them quite often. And just the level of spirituality and depth they bring to the Newman Center has just been such a blessing. So it's been a joy to have them around for this year.
Yeah, it's for me, it's seeing young men in this case because it's focused on learning how to flourish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are the obstacles that keep me from flourishing? And then with absolute full freedom to discern whatever God wants. If God's calling you to marriage, praise the Lord, right? But if we help a young man discern that, or if they're called to priesthood, then it just helps bring that clarity so they can flourish in their next stages of life.
Beautiful. Well, Bishop, that concludes our time together. Do you mind parting us with a blessing?
Happy to. In the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, I ask your grace and blessing upon all the listeners of Real Presence Radio, that they might just be able to experience your life and your love this day. Renew your spirit within them as we hear in that beautiful prayer of the Holy Spirit. that you want to renew the face of the earth. And so may your blessing be upon all our listeners and all of the staff. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Bishop. Thank you. All right, up next on Real Presence Live, the Diocese of Sioux Falls is getting a new school, one that offers unique opportunities. So we'll tell you more about it when we come back on Real Presence Live.
Live, engaging, and local, this is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee with his disciples and quickly falls asleep, even as their boat is amidst a huge, life-threatening storm. The text says that the sea was literally shaking like an earthquake. Imagine the disciples' fear as they awake their master saying, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" Note that they wouldn't have been in this dangerous situation if they had not gotten in the boat to begin with. They are committed, no matter how big the storm. After setting sail in his boat of radical missionary discipleship, it can often seem that God is asleep or uncaring when we are troubled by the storms of life. The good news is that he is in fact always there and always ready to calm the storm when the time is right. Sometimes the storms are there to show us our total dependence on him and not on ourselves. Jesus, we trust in you.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Did you know you can listen to Real Presence Live anytime on any podcast platform? Just search for Real Presence Radio on platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and on the Real Presence Radio website. Then subscribe so you don't miss any future shows. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating so other people can find us as well. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.